The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Some of you might have seen actually Joe Humphrey's piece in the Irish Times today. An interesting piece is admission that he enjoys going to Mass occasionally. An admission he describes as embarrassing for an atheist. Praying can allow people to vocalise suppressed emotions or fears, and several studies indicate health benefits, he goes on to say. One man quoted in that article is Stephen J. Costello, philosopher and founder and director of the Viktor Frankl Institute of Ireland. He's with me in studio. Stephen, you're very welcome
Thank you very much. The
show. Thanks a million for joining us. Father Iggy O'Donovan is with me as well, the Augustinian priest. Iggy, it's good to see you.
Thank you for joining us.
So, I mean, Stephen, what does an atheist get out of going to Mass?
Well, of course, you can go to Mass and be very taken and enthralled by the architecture and the music and the sense of ritual and community and solidarity, distraction, a mild bemusement or amusement at the Gospels, because presumably they're very nice parables, but they don't mean too much in a deeper eschatological level. So I suppose an atheist can go to Mass. I wouldn't see any problem with that. Obviously, for a believer, they're missing out on something, which is the sacramental life of the church and what that means, etc. But, I mean, Wittgenstein said, you know, I'm not a religious person, but I can't help seeing everything from a religious point of view. So we tend to split things into these dualistic antinomies, you know, believer, unbeliever. But, I mean, belief is structured by doubt and dark nights of the soul. Dostoevsky famously said, true faith comes from the crucible of doubt. So doubt and the dark night is kind of stitched into the very structure of belief. So it's not this simple case of, you know, we are the believers, they are the atheists. I don't think that's true at all.
Iggy, what do you see as the attraction from an atheist point of view, would you imagine?
Well, if you go to any religious service where there are large numbers present, and I have been in Ireland, outside of it, Camino stuff, all of that, the reason why many of them are there, or most of them are there, could be people are there for different motivations. I was struck just last night on a programme on Mozart on BBC Two, and Stephen Fry, the great author and so forth, was on. I don't know if he's a believer of what sort, but he spoke of the magnificence of Mozart's Mass and how it was riveting for him. So, like, he would be going along not as a pious Catholic, I wouldn't think.
Wouldn't think so, no.
But because of the magnificence of what Mozart's Mass brought to the occasion. I have seen that. Look, I also believe very much that the Lord, however we see him, can be served by those who have no overt religious motivation. And who defines exactly what is religion, superstition, and so forth? I take the point that Stephen just made. That there, it's not a binary thing of absolute atheism, absolute belief. Transition Your Girl in Drogheda a few years ago gave me a great comment one of the days when she said, the question came up about the opposite to faith. And her answer was certainty. Her point being that if you have certainty, you have no problem with faith. You have no problem with belief. You've got the certainty. You've got the answers. It's not to do with doubt at all. It's to do with those who carry the absolute certainty, in fact, can have the least faith. And
I mean, think of Mark's famous prayer, I believe, help thou my unbelief.
Indeed. And we live in a plural society now. And a plural society, I think, tests to the limit our ability to see God in religious forms that are not our own. Religions are at their best in societies of the like-minded. They're at their worst in pluralist societies. And I think it was Jonathan Sacks who said that. I think it's a great line. To see God in religious forms that are not our own, it's a great difficulty. But the I suppose thinking of belief and unbelief, one of my great inspirations for me was the French thinker Pascal, who was an unusual man in that he was a scientist and a mystic. And he once said that the entire succession of humans down the centuries should be seen as one and the same person, ever present, but learning continually. In other words, adapting, moving on all the time. So that the binary situation between atheists and believers, it really, it's a very nebulous area. So that why someone might go to a Catholic Mass, or indeed any religious service, you don't necessarily have to be, quote unquote, a believer. And Joe Humphreys doesn't have to be embarrassed at all because he's in good company.
To what extent, Stephen, as well, is this, or is the attraction partly due to our kind of gregariousness that we're pack animals, as it were, and there's a kind of and maybe it's not so much the case anymore as numbers going to mass have dwindled, but that there's an attraction to that kind of congregational element of mass.
I suppose so. That's, Max, to me a little bit more Protestantism in the sense of they do that stuff well. But
I always think we're all Catholic Protestants in this country, actually. I think if you actually investigated people's Catholic beliefs.
We're Protestants under the sheets, aren't we? We don't accept the church's teaching on most things of sexual morality. I mean, Martini, the great Catholic, the Jesuit cardinal years ago, said the church is about 200 to 300 years behind the times when it comes to its teaching on sexual morality. But that's a whole other thing. I think, though, the draw is for transcendent meaning. There's something more than going on than just our lives, which can be quite flat and banal. I mean, there is that draw to ultimate meaning. Viktor Frankl once described religion as the fulfillment of the will to ultimate meaning. And I think that seems to me to be the attraction to something like Mass.
But you know, when people, though, talk about the kind of the meditative quality, maybe, of going to Mass, like that's searching for that meaning by looking inward, isn't it? Whereas I guess the Mass is searching for that meaning, looking the other direction, isn't it? It's kind of calling to a higher power.
The way, if I'm very reluctant to quote St. Augustine when an Augustinian is sitting opposite
me. Oh, here we are.
But
now,
he does talk about, correct me if I'm wrong, interior, exterior, superior. It's that kind of dialectic. So you go in to go out to go up. I mean, that's putting it. So, I mean, it is an inward thing there. But of course, the hope is that prayer, praise and petition leads to loving service in the world.
And there is another point, I think, because even on a more basic level, then Augustine might have, my God, he's something else. But why so many people in many ways overtly support the church who are not regular practitioners? I'm talking about little things like money, collections, parish work, all of that type of thing. And even though they might seldom darken the door of the church except for the, you know, special occasions, whether weddings or funerals or whatever it might be, but they do feel part of the community, part of the tradition, part of the culture, part of that setup to which they feel part. And the fact that some of the crew, like I like to think of us, believers and hangers on as well, that if you like, we're in a lifeboat situation and we all have a seat in the lifeboat and nobody should be asked to give up their seat simply because some members of the crew have delusions of grandeur. Yeah. There's room for everybody. And I do find my own family, who in great majority do not practice, but they would see themselves very much as part of the parish community.
Yeah.
And so that the church isn't divorced from the parish, from the sports, school, the other activities, the comings, the goings, the fundraising, community stuff, cultural. And I did mention, and my final point on all of this, is that in my years in Italy especially, a highly secularised country, very highly secularised, but Italian secularised people will talk about their love of their Catholic music, their Catholic architecture, their Catholic art, and things of that sort, in a way that we normally in Ireland didn't, where we defined almost everything. Every egg was in the basket of who goes to Mass.
Yes.
And the bottom has fallen out of that basket in Ireland
it
now.
It has, certainly
and
has.
And we've replaced it with little else.
I mean, it's kind of countercultural now.
Yeah.
Almost if you say to somebody you're going to Mass, it sounds like you're a revolutionary.
Yeah. But that cultural point and the kind of the cultural legacy and that sense of cultural belonging. Tom Holland, the historian, wrote a great book a few years ago, Dominion, which kind of suggests that, you know, none of us really grasp to what extent we are all inheritors of that kind of Christian legacy. Mm. And that's what that speaks to as well, doesn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. 2,000 years of history,
of
tradition, ritual, initiation, meaning. And you can't just get rid of that. And people obviously want to be baptised and to be buried. And they look to the church to fulfil a very necessary function. But I mean, it is of the world in the sense of human institution. But we, Iggy and myself would think that it's also a divine institution, you know, founded by Jesus Christ, and will keep prevailing. So we don't know what form this will take in the future, but the hope is the Spirit is at work, but it will certainly be a very different church. It will be smaller and leaner and very different.
Well, Chris Hines is actually on the line. He's a teaching officer with Atheist Ireland. Chris, you're welcome to the show. I understand you've kind of, you're a mixed marriage, as they'd say. Is that how they describe it?
Yeah. Thanks for having me. So I'm an atheist. I'm on the board of management of Atheist Ireland, and I'm happily married to a lovely Catholic lady. And I was fascinated with the conversation there. I think the main point that has to be emphasised is you've got to differentiate between the social practice of going to a mass and the religious side of it. I mean, I go to mass the odd time. I was at a wedding, a family wedding, 3 weeks ago. It was a lovely service and everything. It was a happy occasion. I go every year with my wife to show respect and empathy for her beliefs. But atheists are certainly not going for prayer or to read the scriptures. I certainly don't want to hear about slavery and children being battered, and you have to be put to death if you don't respect your parents. But I can, you know, certainly understand why people would go to a religious occasion for maybe meditation, but also I think it's really to share community with their family and friends. But there's no religious aspect to it.
But would you consider that?